Well, hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Today's lesson, we are talking about relationships. Now, Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. As my mentor, John Maxwell, says, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. That's why relationships matter. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the kind of leadership skills that are going to help you grow yourself and grow a team of people that are going to help you today and every day. And I love the fact that leadership, that our ability to influence others, is learnable. Anybody can learn. And that's what you're here to do. You want to learn to improve in leadership, improve in influence, and improve in your ability to effectively get things done with other people. Now, I want to encourage you to press on here. It's good. It's important that you are investing the energy in being here and being a part of this program. Now, before we jump into today's lesson, I always like to ask, how are you going to act after this lesson? What is something from today's lesson that you can apply? What is something that you might change in your approach? And finally, what is something you could potentially teach to others? Now remember, teaching is not about getting on a call like this or standing in front of a classroom. It's about sharing what you're learning. Your goal is to be a river, not a reservoir. You want to share as much knowledge as you can on your journey. That's one of the reasons I do this program. I want to share that on my journey. Now, I've been looking forward to today's lesson, and I look forward to it because I know down deep in my soul that relationships are the key to long-term success, and often it's easy to forget that. Now, in today's lesson, I've got some great ideas coming your way, and I'm telling you, if you take some notes and be intentional about just one of the ideas that's in here, you're going to get great results. I had a client recently tell me, this stuff really works. I've been getting no help from this one team, but using the ideas has brought more progress in 45 minutes than I had in the last 6 months. I know this works, and this will work for you. Now, for you, you're going to want some more help, and at the end of today's lesson, I promise I'm going to provide a way that we can do that. Fair enough? So let's jump in. Let's talk about relationships. Why do relationships matter? In his book on evolution, Aldous Huxley said, it's not the strongest of the species that survives, but the most adaptable. How adaptable are you? The fact is that successful people get along with people, period. Now, people can be frustrating and inflexible, but successful people get along with people. Former President Teddy Roosevelt said, the most important single ingredient to the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. The most important single ingredient to the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. There was a study done of about 5,000 companies, and they found that 35% of executives can bring in the numbers, but they fail with people, and they fail at work. Now, why is that? Everything we do depends on teamwork. There's no significant project that ever gets completed by an individual. I was reading about the famous painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It said that Michelangelo, who is credited as being the genius behind that painting, he needed many assistants to mix his paints and scramble up and down ladders and prepare the plaster. And occasionally a talented assistant might be entrusted to a patch of sky or a bit of landscape. But all these were worked from Michelangelo's cartoons, and he kept hiring and firing assistants on such a regular basis that nobody could claim credit for the part of the ceiling. But here's the thing. Michelangelo didn't paint the Sistine Chapel by himself. He had to have people. Now, he probably could have done a better job with his relationships. He probably could have maintained those over a longer period of time. But I watched an interview of Chad Hurley, who was one of the founders of YouTube. And YouTube is all over the place now, and we sort of feel like it's always been, but it's a relatively new thing. And one thing that struck me about his experience that he shared that really stuck out, at the end of the presentation, there's just 1 minute left in the video, he was asked, based on what you learned at YouTube, what would you do differently? Now, in this moment, there are many, many things that Hurley could have spoken about. He could have talked about competing video services, and there were many at the time, Google Video, Vimeo, Dailymotion, other things like that that were out there when he was trying to launch that. He didn't talk about economics, the payroll or fundraising or contracts that needed to get in place. What he talked about was people. And Hurley said, "We would have loved to have more time to build the type of team that we wanted to build. One of the things we saw inside Google, because Google was offering to buy YouTube at the time, was the quality of the people there. They had time to build that organization. We would have asked, how do we take our time and not always treat everything like a fire drill?" That's an important thing. This investment in people, this growth of people, matters. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. Jim Rohn said, "You can't succeed by yourself. It's hard to find a rich hermit." The reality is, relationships are the glue that holds the team together. They're the reason that you'll work hard for somebody else. The reason you'll pick up slack for somebody else is you have a relationship with them. So let me ask you to think about this. Who do you need to influence? What would the world be like if you were an incredible influencer? Who annoys the snot out of you? And what about that person is so frustrating? What if they wanted to help you instead of standing in your way? If you want to influence others, you have to have relationships with other people. The former CEO of GE, Jack Welch, said, "A leader's intelligence has to have a strong emotional component. He has to have high levels of self-awareness, maturity, and self-control. She must be able to withstand heat, handle setbacks, and when those lucky moments arise, enjoy success with equal parts joy and humility. No doubt, emotional intelligence is more rare than book smarts, but my experience says it's actually more important in the making of a leader. You just can't ignore it." These relational connections, this emotional intelligence, it is foundational to our overall success. Now, for those people like me who long believed that my intelligence and technical skills were all that mattered to my success at work, it's sometimes upsetting to read the research that says 70% of the time people with average IQs outperform people with high IQs. 70% of the time people with average IQs outperform people with high IQs. And it's frustrating. What is it that those people know that we don't know? What is it they have that we don't have? And the short answer is people skills. My sister worked her career in state government. She said there are two ways to be assured of a long career. One is to be hardworking and extremely competent in your job. The other is to be incredibly nice and easy to get along with, even if you're completely incompetent in your job. It helps to have political connections, no matter which group you're in. I worked for Marriott for 10 years. It was true there, and I'm sure it's true in any sufficiently large organization. People like people who are easy to get along with. I was working at one point in my career, I worked for a company where the competition just wasn't, they weren't as good at their job as we were. We knew we were better than they were. And they kept winning deals that we knew they couldn't deliver on. They were beating us, and it made us nuts. Finally, we went to talk to a client who had bought from them and had bought from us, and we asked what was going on, and she said, "Yeah, they don't deliver, but they're so nice about it." You know, what most people really want is to be listened to, respected, and understood. If you can do those things, you're going to have incredible influence with them. So why don't we understand other people? Part of the reason we don't understand people is we're not thinking about them. We're thinking about ourselves. Harry Truman said, "When we understand the other fellow's viewpoint, we understand what he's trying to do. 9 times out of 10, he's trying to do right." But we're so busy about ourselves that we don't think about that. I think about self-centeredness. I see it in myself. I see it in my kids all the time. It's all about what I want, not about what the other person wants. Self-centeredness is natural and it's easy, but when we're intentional about seeing things from the other person's perspective, understand what the other person's trying to do, 9 times out of 10, he's trying to do right. Now, sometimes it's because we are unwilling to appreciate the differences that other people bring. I worked with a woman who was a brilliant engineer. She was terrific, really smart, but she and I often clashed. She would shoot down every idea I ever had. It seemed like she was always out to get me, like she was the idea assassin and had her sniper rifle ready to take down every idea I've suggested. Now, from her point of view, she found me frustrating too. She saw me as somebody who came up with an endless stream of completely infeasible ideas, somebody who never thought things through and had a bunch of craziness. Our differences led to a lot of conflict. Interestingly, we ultimately developed a great relationship and built some really good things together because of our differences. Another problem we have in dealing with people is that we don't acknowledge our similarities. I've got two sons who are very much alike. They had tremendous conflict years ago when they were younger, and I would say to them, you know, the reason you're having conflict with that person is they think like you. And each of the boys would say, no way, man, that's not right. The thing that frustrates us about people who are similar to us is that we often have a very loud inner critic who's talking about all the things that we do poorly. And if we listen to that critic, we have that narrative going. If we see somebody who's weak in an area where we're weak, their weakness it reinforces that inner critic. It's the thing we don't like about ourselves that makes us want to be critical of that person who's like us. But I like this idea. If you treat every person you meet as if he or she were the most important person in the world, you'll communicate that he or she is somebody. They're somebody to you. I want to share with you a couple of keys to strong relationships. One is trust. Having trust is foundational. There's nothing as fast as what Stephen M. R. Covey calls the speed of trust. He tells a story in his book by that name that Warren Buffett was going to try and buy McLean Distribution. It was a $23 billion acquisition. He's spending $23 billion to buy this distribution company from Walmart. And he said, we had a high level of trust between Buffett and Walmart and McLean. He said, we had seen a long track record of character and performance. And he said about this I just can't get over this, that $23 billion purchase. He said, to make the McLean deal, we had one single meeting of about 2 hours. 29 days later, Walmart had their money. We did no due diligence because we knew it would all be as Walmart said it would be. Now, typically on a deal like this, you're spending that much money, you would spend millions going over the books, confirming that people weren't lying or mistaken or careless or clueless. But Buffett trusted his counterparts, and his counterparts were trustworthy. They closed the deal quickly, and they spent nothing on due diligence. So that type of trust is critical. Another thing that helps with relationships is the idea of reciprocity. In 1985, the country of Ethiopia was really having difficulty, but they sent $5,000 to Mexico. Now, why did they send $5,000 in international aid to Mexico? Well, Mexico had experienced an earthquake in Mexico City. Now, why would a war-torn, drought-stricken, poor country send aid to Mexico? Because 50 years earlier, in 1935, when Ethiopia had been invaded by Italy, the government of Mexico had sent aid to Ethiopia. If we care for each other, we're going to help each other. That's part of the kind of reciprocity that happens in healthy relationships. Another reason that we get along with other, another way to get along with other people has to do with our mutual enjoyment. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. But they have to like you. You have to be likable. So I want to give you some rapid-fire ideas about dealing with other people in relationships. First, Dale Carnegie said, give a dog a bad name and you might as well hang him. You want to focus your attention on the things they do well, not the things they do poorly. Praise people in public. Don't criticize them. Dale Carnegie also said, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. If you praise people in front of family and close friends, if you praise people in front of coworkers, that stands out. You want to think about the things that they've done well in the past. The founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, Mary Kay Ash, said, "Everyone has an invisible sign around their neck saying, 'Make me feel important.'" Now, in order to do that, you might need to help people remember their past successes. Often people don't remember what they do well, and they may need you to help them. And even if they do remember, they might feel like it's not a big deal, particularly if it's an area of their strength. The things we're really good at, we presume that other people are good at those things too, and we diminish the value of them. And partly we're conditioned to this. And you think about it, if you came home with your report card as a kid and you had all A's and one C, what would Mom say? Mom would say, "You better work on that C, right?" Well, fundamentally, what about the A's? Why can't we celebrate the A's? Sure, you want to work on the C, of course, but how do we help people remember their successes? One technique is you can create some type of log that shows what's working. And that way, when you sit down with them, you can start to go over some of the things that they've done well to help them remember their successes. Now, what about when they screw up? Well, one thing you can do, of course, you want to provide instruction. You want to correct them, absolutely. But you want to instill confidence in your belief in them when they fail, and you want to make the error seem easy to correct. If you try to yell at somebody or belittle them or shame them, it's not going to lead to long-term improved performance. Make the error seem easy to correct. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said, "Success consists of moving from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." We learn from our mistakes, and we have to try again. You think about when you were, have you ever watched a baby learning to walk? They fall down and fall down and fall down and fall down. How about when you learned to ride a bike? You remember that? Years ago, we worked on building a tree fort, and we had this octagonal deck, and we wanted to get a corner post that would fit perfectly in the angle of the octagon. And I assigned my oldest son to try and figure out how to notch that post so it would fit perfectly in a 135-degree angle. And he looked and looked and looked and planned and thought and looked and looked, and eventually he had to put a saw to wood. And did he get it right? Nope. It took a lot of tries, but he didn't learn anything until the saw touched the wood. We have to fail. And on the journey, we have to experience some wins together. We want to give people some jobs where they can have small successes and encourage them, because that encouragement is critically valuable from a relationship's perspective. And then, you know, you think about offering hope to people. We live in a world that is filled with hopelessness, but leaders are dealers in hope. That's what Napoleon Bonaparte said. Konrad Adenauer said, "We all live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon." You help the people around you to achieve their potential, maybe something they don't even see in themselves. We want to think about the way that we can have an impact on the people around us. I read a story about a small encounter that had a big impact. There was a passionate diabetes specialist, and she said she sat down with a patient to understand why he wasn't using his diabetes meds regularly, even though he had numerous hospital admissions for complications. He said, I can't continue to do this anymore. I've just given up." And she placed her hand on his shoulder and just sat with him. And after a pause, she said, "You have a heart that still beats and legs you can still walk on. Many of my patients don't have that privilege." 5 years later, recalling that episode, her patient credits her with inspiring him to take better care of himself. That entire encounter took less than 5 minutes. Always remember, the heart comes before the head. The heart comes before the mind. In even the most emotionless person you know, we touch their heart before we ask for their help. And you develop credibility with people when you connect with them and show them that you genuinely want to help them. Your ability to understand other people, it's a choice that you make. And every person is capable of having the ability to understand, motivate, and influence other people. Most people don't have faith in themselves. It's true. Most people don't have someone who has faith in them. Most people can tell when others have faith in them, and most people will do anything to live up to your faith in them. Most people also need to learn how to have faith in others because they grew up in homes that were not positive and affirming. Now, when you're thinking about connecting and relationship and influence, your goal is not to get people to think more highly of you. You're doing it backwards if you're doing that. It's to get them to think more highly of themselves. When you can connect with someone else and get them to think more highly of themselves, they're going to like you and they're going to want to work with you. So it's almost time for your personal action plan. And as you're getting ready for that, I want to recap some of the things we talked about today. First, everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be valued and regarded by others. Secondly, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care about them. Third, everybody needs somebody. In all of history, nothing of significance has ever been accomplished by a single individual. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto and Silver. We all need help, and you can become the person that helps. And when you do that, you're going to have a position of influence. Number four, each person can become someone significant. Even the most annoying person in the world can become someone significant. And number five, anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of people. Your helping others is a multiplier. So from today's lesson, what is your idea that you can apply, change, or teach? And maybe you're with the team as you're listening to this, and be a good opportunity to talk to the team members about improving relationships on the team. Now, you might be interested in learning more, spending some more time on the concept of how do we build better relationships. And I've got a 4-session mastermind book study on the book Relationships 101 by John Maxwell. This book does go deeper into this area, and it'll help you come up with an action plan that's going to make a difference in your relationships. Now, the cost for this is $199 a person, and in these sessions, these 4 sessions, you're going to learn a lifetime's worth of lessons on connecting with and influencing other people. It's going to be filled with practical ideas you can put to use immediately. Sound interesting? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.